Today is a very special day. Does anyone know what that day is? Well, it's the day after May 21st. And we'll check the attendance to make a conclusion after the service. But it's also a special day in the life of the United Methodist Church. Today is United Methodist Heritage Sunday. Are you excited? Yes, I love that answer. The truth and the reality is, in the life of the church, we do not live any longer in a generation of brand loyalty. When my parents were growing up, you drove Ford cars because Ford was the family brand. I actually attended a family event one time when I was younger with an Oldsmobile, and I realized very quickly that I didn't fit in with my family in West Virginia because the parking lot looked like a Ford dealership. Now, when I return to the same family events, you can't find a common strand. In the same way, we don't necessarily attend faith communities or organizations simply because of the name out on the sign. This congregation, one of the gifts of who we are, is that we have different backgrounds. Some of us grew up Protestant, or Roman Catholic, or Christian, or non-Christian, or even different faith traditions. The reality is that few of us are here because of the sign outside or the logo that is on the sign as well. Something about this community has drawn us in. Perhaps the way that we do mission, or our children's programs, or our worship, or our music program, but in any case, something other than simply who we are as an organization has drawn us in and made us who we are. Am I right? Yes, I thought I was right on that point. But there is something behind the brand. What I mean is there is something behind the name Methodist that if we lose the sense of who we are and the story, we are simply an institution. Today, on this Heritage Sunday, I want to take an opportunity to share with you or to remind us part of who we are is our DNA. Many of you may know United Methodist Church as the big steeple churches in town. When I grew up, it was the church that had fish fries. Funny enough, we're going to do that today. There may be a common thread. The reality is that in the late 18th century, there were two brothers who were priests in the Anglican Church in England, and they were well-educated, they were well-versed in their priestliness, but they began to create a stir within the church. They became riot causers. They caused a ruckus among the church because John and Charles Wesley were very convicted in their belief that to follow Jesus was a whole lot more than to attend church, to take communion, and to say the right prayers. They were part of a church that they felt had become embedded with the power structure of England, with the monarchy, and they felt that the Christian witness was losing its edge because the poverty level was going up. The unemployment rate was going up, and the people who they were ministering to had worsening life conditions, or even worse than that, the only people who came to church were the privileged or the wealthy. Now, the Wesleys felt very strongly that to be Christians, we had to hold two things about our faith and about who we are in tension. John Wesley's words for that, those two things are personal piety and social holiness. Now, those words might not mean anything to us. They may not even ring with a good sound in our ears. So I will say that for Wesley or to be Methodist, we hold in tension the need for a personal spiritual life and an outward working of social justice or action in the world. Now, the Wesleys didn't just teach this. They actually left the big church, the big stone facades, and they began to preach on the corners. They were kicked out of churches and communities, and John Wesley was even kicked out of a field when a farmer released a bull to show him he was no longer welcome. The Wesleys also organized people to live out their faith in a way that was caring for others. Wesley believed that not only do we have to care for and tend our own personal spiritual lives through attending worship and taking the sacraments and in our prayer lives, but to be Christians, we had to be visiting those in prison. To live out Christian faith, we have to care for the sick, for the widow, for the orphan. And in Wesley's time, to follow Jesus Christ meant that we had to fight against slavery. And these were just as important as what the church was teaching was important inside the walls. If we lose a sense of who we are as Methodists, I believe we lose more than simply brand identity. Ultimately, the Wesleys moved beyond works of charity and simply visiting and giving money to those in need. They mobilized people to engage in real social change that would challenge the systems in Great Britain that were causing poverty at the time. Among some of these efforts, the people called Methodists set up employment collectives, like unions for seamstresses. They created loan programs so that people could get capital for small businesses. Have you heard of anything like this? They set up free or low-cost health clinics. They set up housing for widows and orphans, and they even established schools for the poor. This element of mission or social action or justice work or whatever you want to call it is in our DNA as Methodists. And if we lose our commitment to living out our faith in action, we simply become an empty institution or community. Jesus gave his disciples a call for action in the story that I read from John. At the very end of the passage, Jesus said to his disciples, who were very distraught, you have to remember that Jesus, they had seen him be handed over to Pontius Pilate, and he was crucified. They watched him die. And now they were dealing with the news that he has resurrected, and Jesus is now in their presence, and they are confused and worried and scared. But Jesus gives them these instructions. First, do not be afraid. Know that I go ahead of you to prepare a way for you. And one of the disciples says the question, well, how will we know the way, Jesus? And Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the truth and I'm the life. And if you seek God, you will follow me. And ultimately, the charge to action, Jesus said, those who love me will do as I have done and will even do greater things because I will be in them. This call to action, I believe, is Wesleyan. Is it possible that Jesus was a United Methodist? Or perhaps the Wesleyans were simply followers of Jesus? Like the disciples, I believe that so many of us can be caught up in fear. Fear of uncertainty, fear of difficult challenges, a fear of not exactly knowing what our purpose or our way or our future is in life. And Jesus says to us who seek to find a way, a purpose in this life, Jesus says to us these three things. First, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. To be followers of Jesus means that we are taken care of because Jesus goes before us. To follow Jesus or to be a Christian, now love me, it means not to have the right answers or to know. Being a Christian is not about knowing. It's not about having the right information or knowing only the map. Being a Christian is about moving and following. And before we can do that, before we can follow Jesus, we have to let go of the things that hold us back, of the fear, of the concern, of the uncertainty that we have. So Jesus says, I go ahead of you to prepare away. Many of you have come in your lives to see that when you were younger or in a different stage of your life, that God was loving you and caring for you even before you knew it. Do not be afraid. I go before you to prepare a way. We, like the disciples, ask the question, how will we know the way? How will we know what we are supposed to do in our lives, and how can we move forward? Jesus said, I am the way, and I am the truth. I'm the life. In the book of Acts, we see that the very early Christian church bore the name, or was called, the Way. When they referred to the Christians or the church, they would call themselves the Way. In some ways, this was covert language because they were being persecuted and people were coming after them. It was almost like a secret way to refer to the church as the Way. But it also inferred not just knowing the right things, not just the fact that they knew about God or the details about God or heaven, but it implies motion, action, following. To be followers of Jesus is not only to know the way, but we have to travel and go the way. What is the way? Jesus said to them, if you love me, you would watch what I have done on this earth, and you would do so also. To be Christians or people, the Easter people of the risen Christ, it means that we can not only sit and believe and hold for ourselves personal knowledge and faith, but we have to get up. We have to live it out. We have to care for those on the margins, like the Wesley brothers and those in England so many years ago. To be followers of Jesus Christ means that we can not only be concerned for those who look like us and those who are in our comfort zone, but we have to worry about what some call the least, the last, and the lost of this world. How are we caring for those on the margins? I had a very interesting conversation with a friend of mine. I was talking about ministry in general and some of my very ADD interests. Sometimes I can be all over the map, the things that I want to do. And I shared with this close clergy friend, I said, you know, I'm afraid sometimes in ministry. She said, what are you afraid of? Oh, don't laugh. I said, I'm afraid of being bored. Now, if you look at the list in the bulletin of activities of this church, it seems ridiculous. But my concern of being bored was losing focus. I was concerned of not being able to do all the things that I like to do, and music and technology and photography. And my friend didn't give me direction of how to use these areas of interest in my ministry. She said something very simple to me. She smiled, she put her hand out, and she said, Chris, if you commit to being in ministry with those on the margins, I promise you, you will never be bored. I went home that night and I wrote it down in a journal, and from time to time I opened it up. And I asked myself, am I in ministry with those in the margins? What is getting my priority? What is getting my attention in ministry and in life? I would ask us the same question. Where are we as a community, and where are we as individuals focused in the way that we are living out our faith? Are we caring for the widow, for the orphan, for the sick? Are we fighting against things that lead to different types of slavery and injustice in this world? I'm excited to be a member of this community. I'm excited to be a member of the United Methodist Church because it is in our DNA to hold in tension a love for God and a love for our neighbor. Loving our neighbor means moving outside of our comfort zone, getting to know and care for those who are hurting. Sometimes those people won't like us. Sometimes they will curse us. And sometimes those people may not welcome our help or our love. Look at Jesus. If Jesus said, I am the way, and if you love me, you will do as I did. Jesus opened the eyes of the blind. He preached. He healed. He calmed storms. He even raised the dead into life. If we are to become Easter people, we acknowledge that we cannot do it alone. God is revealed to us in community anytime we come together. And we know that to see God revealed before us, we have to open our ears to hear the truth that we know has come from Jesus. It comes often from unexpected places. And to be Easter people, we can't be people of the seat or the pew or the bench, but we have to be people who walk. I would say that we are to be people of the sandal or of the way, that we are walking our faith outside of the walls. We are walking our faith into this world. How are we loving those in the margins? How are we living out our faith? Let us believe in Jesus. Let us follow the risen Christ. And let us act on our faith. As we move forward into the days, the weeks, and the years to come, may we as a community seek to walk along the way with a spring in our step, that by God's grace, we can care for the needs, we can heal the hurts, and we can proclaim to the world, do not be afraid. Will you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for bringing us together in community, for loving us when we are unlovable. We give you thanks for challenging us and leading the way, showing us that we are called to care for those around us who are hurting. God, give us courage, give us strength, and give us grace so that we may walk in your way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.